Hi there, thanks for joining us at the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington joined this week by Richard Birch and Robbie Wilders. I'm afraid it's a bit of an all Cockney affair. We normally have David Jennings' lovely Irish accent, the beautiful Scottish brogue of Keith Melrose for you, but it's all a bit jelly deals, pearly kings and queens, and roll out the barrel today. But hopefully we'll make up for the Cockney bias with loads and loads of winners. Here's what we've got lined up for you on the show. We're going to tackle five ITV races from Newbury on Saturday. Then there's three supporting races from Warwick. And then the lads will tell us what else they fancy away from the ITV cameras. We'll get the Saturday naps. And with the festival less than 5 weeks away, I'll tease a latest tip out of each of the boys. We will start, though, with 1:15 at Newbury. 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs for the Betfair Cheltenham Roarcast Novices Limited Handicap Chase. I will give you price guides. I'm basically reading off the best odds button as we speak on Friday lunchtime at racingpost.com. So shop around for best prices and for best place terms. But Brave Man's Game, great to have such a star name in our first race. He's 8-11. It's Grumpy Charlie at fives, along with Pat's Fancy at fives. 12 Fernhill, 22 Galley Hill, and 25 IK Brunel. Now then, you might think to yourself, hang on a sec, Brave Man's Game against this lot, well, he's a shoo-in. But the fact is, Birchie, Paul Nicholls has stuck him in a handicap. So it makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
It does. And he's got to give away lots and lots of weight. And I remember being on this show a few weeks ago with you, and you were sort of eulogising about the claims of Royal Pagale in the big handicap at Haydock. And it was a very similar situation. He had to give away loads and loads of weight to, you know, inferior opposition on paper. He did it. You were right. He won the race. And this is a similar sort of makeup. Brave Man's Game, he's been absolutely brilliant since being sent chasing. Obviously, he was very good over hurdles, but he's even better over fences. He's done nothing wrong. He's a beautiful jumper. He settles beautifully. He's got loads and loads of class. I think he'll win.
We've got to do the but. There's a massive but.
The form of the Paul Nicholls stable. But we said all this last week and they didn't win. But we've had another 7 days since then, and I know he hasn't had any winners or whatever. But it's got to change sooner or later. I mean, if you can't imagine Paul Nicholls going 30 days or 23 days without, you know, most of them coming back to form. And this is a big, big day for him. And I think Brave Man's Game is going to get him back into the picture here.
I mean, Dolos won at Sandown last week, but he's had he has had one win from his last 37 runners in the previous fortnight. And since Dolos won...
They are essentially out of form, but he wouldn't be running them if he could find something discernibly wrong with them. So it must be pretty minor.
You do okay. It's got to be a worry, doesn't it, Robbie? Or are you like Birch?
Massive.
Brave Man's Game's got the class, and he'll be fine.
No, I'm well against him. It's got to be a massive concern. I can't remember. I don't know if any of you lot can remember a novice running a race off such a big mark, 159. I can't remember that at all. But
no, it's great though. And again, all credit to Paul Nicholls, who is enterprising and does things that other big trainers don't do. And it's great for the crowd and it's great for the TV viewing. It's a bit of a risk, isn't it?
Yeah, massively. I think it's going to make for some spectacle, because if he does win it, then we can say he's top, top class. But I just think, I mean, he's running off 159. I mean, his true rating at this stage might be, say, 164. But there could be a horse in behind who's got more in hand with a handicapper. And I'd want to tread very carefully backing him at 8 to 11. I've actually backed the two in behind him, Pat's Fancy and Grumpy Charlie, at fives each. These two are two very fastly improving horses and very interesting in their own right. Pat's Fancy, he's being aimed at the National Hunt Chase by Rebecca Curtis. He absolutely bolted up at Chepstow last time. And the horse in second, Imperial Alcazar, has come out and won at Cheltenham since by 10 lengths. That's good form. Grumpy Charlie as well, he looks a good prospect. He was actually sixth in the Supreme last season, but he's found a lot of improvement, stepped up in trip this year. And his rider, Brian Carver, can actually claim £3 this time. He's not been able to in a couple of previous starts. Just looking at the RPRs of the pair of them, they're both running off 143, but both produced figures in the 150s last time. Brave Man's Game has never bettered 162, and he's off 159. I just don't know how much he's got in hand off that mark. And obviously with the Nichols form, that's enough to put me off. So I think if he does win this, he's going to be an absolute top notcher. But this could be actually harder than the Grade One at Kempton, I think.
Amazing. Very intriguing start today. Birchie is putting his faith in the class act, which is Brave Man's Game. And Robbie is dutching Grumpy Charlie and Pat's Fancy, the joint second favourites. OK, let's move on to the 150 at Newbury. 3 miles is the trip for the daily rewards with Betfair handicap hurdle. The Brimming Water is 3-1. And then we've got, is it Polish or Polish? Anyway, whichever it is, it's 100-30. Risk and Roll is 5-1. What's Up With You, 11-2. Curly On is 8-1, as is the Big Breakaway. 14 Sussex Ranger, 25 Butlers. Brief, 8 runners. Let's hope they all stand their ground so we can have a bit of each way action. What do you like, Robbie Wilders?
Yeah, back to the Broom Water at the start of the week, so I was quite happy to see the race
card. Oh, well, hang on a sec, Robbie. But that's a red card. No, it's a yellow card.
That's not relevant anymore, is it?
Yeah, I'm not interested. That's a Paul Keighley trick. What do you fancy? Oh, I've backed this at 16-1. It's now 5-2. No one cares. What do you fancy now? Yes. Where's the value? Come on.
I still fancy him. I still think he's a fair price. It's quite weird. He didn't run. He was meant to run at Sandown last week, but there was some sort of transport issue, so he couldn't turn up. You don't see that too often. He just looks on a good mark. I think a couple of starts back, he beat Unexpected Party. That horse has absolutely hacked up at Ascot since, and that horse is entering the Ballymore. He's rated £16 higher. The Broom Water's gone up £7 for that run. He was beaten at Haydock on his next start, but I just think he got found out a bit by the soft ground over a trip in excess of 3 miles. He looked to be travelling by far the best in that race. He just didn't quite get home. I think on this quick ground, he's going to go close. And yeah, I still think he's on a good mark of 127.
Okay, thank you, Robbie. Robbie goes for the Brimming Water. Birchie goes for
Risk and Roll. Unfortunately, he won't be the 33-1 shot that he was when he won at Huntingdon last time. But that was a mightily impressive performance.
God, wasn't it? I remember seeing that. Absolutely whizzed up, didn't
it? Yeah. And there were two horses in that race that before the race I thought were incredibly well handicapped. One was Gazette Bourgeois, who finished second, and Risk and Roll just obliterated that from the second last. And the other one was a horse called Tip Top Cat, who had won, I think he'd won his previous 3 or 4 starts and looked very, very progressive going into that race. But it was a procession from the second last. I mean, I couldn't really believe it. But he's gone up £10. I suppose there's a chance it was a fluke. But if you go back through his back class for previous trainers, he did have very good. He has got some very good form. But I don't think it's a one-off.
And you also, Birchie, you had that real solid yardstick Who Dares Wins in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You can't fluke a big margin win over him, can you?
No, you can't. If he reproduces that Huntingdon run, I think he's certain to be in the first three, and I think he's probably got a very good chance of winning.
Interesting. Excellent. Jolly good. We move on to the 225 now, which is the Betfair Denman Chase over a few yards short of 3 miles. Clan des Oboe for Paul Nichols. Again, another Paul Nichols fav. He's evens. Royal Pagai, 5-2. Imperial Aura, 13-2. El Dorado Allen is 11s. And the Rasher Counter, 25s. So again, Birchie, small field, but an intriguing race. You can't just say, oh, this is easy, I'm going to smash into that. Or can you?
No, you can't really, but I've been biased against Clan des Oboe for a very, very long time, and I've been proved wrong on many occasions. I didn't like him when he was hurdling. Sam Twist and Davis rode him a few times, and I think Sam got a bit of unfair criticism for a couple of his defeats, particularly at Cheltenham. And I formed the impression that it was nothing to do with Sam's riding. It was to do with the horse's attitude. I thought when he was asked to win the races, I thought his head came up a little bit, and he might not have wanted it as much as he should have done. When he went chasing, he obviously developed into an absolute star, King George winner, Grade One winner, all that sort of stuff. But there's always been at the back of my mind, and it's been proven time and time again at Cheltenham. I know he doesn't act at Cheltenham, and I know he acts particularly well at Kempton and whatever, but it's always in the back of my mind that he might not find as much as anticipated off the bridle. Tomorrow, we've got what we've already spoken about, the Nichols potential negative. And he's also up against, as we've also previously mentioned, Royal Pagay, who was I thought he was brilliant at Paddock. I really did. I didn't think he could concede that much of that amount of weight to some very good horses. The second horse in that race, I think, is very underrated. A really good horse in his own right. And I think that's really, really good form. He's on the up, whereas Clan des Oboes is fully exposed and possibly, you know, he's 10 now. Maybe he'll be on the downgrade now. So I really fancy Royal Pagay. I'll be surprised if he doesn't win.
This is good to soft birch at Newbury tomorrow, and there's certainly no rain forecast. Is that soft enough for Royal Pagay?
That's a good point. I think he's I don't think he's one dimensional. I think he's got speed as well. I don't think he needs an absolute slog in the mud. I think he's got more speed than people give him credit for. I think he's people were talking about him last year as a real potential Gold Cup horse. He proved himself in that race that he was a Gold Cup horse. I think he's got to take another step forward this season. I think he did take that step forward at Haydock, and I think he's a better horse than I originally thought he was.
Okay, interesting. Royal Pagay is Birchie's selection. Robbie, what do you make of this heat?
Yeah, I'm big on Royal Pagay as well as Birchie. I think there are a lot of reasons why you can take Clan on. I mean, he's 10 years old now. Age is going to catch up with him eventually. The King George looked a tough race that might have taken a bit out of him as well. He also lost this race last year to Secret Investor, who is definitely not barely a grade two horse for my money. So I just don't want to be with him. Royal Pagay, we touched upon the good to soft ground angle, but I think there's not enough evidence to suggest that he's not going to handle it yet. When he ran on it in the Gold Cup, I mean, he was only a novice and that was a stiff enough task anyway, but he finished lame in that race. And the other piece of evidence we've got, he was a well-beaten second to Appalutar in the Betfair Chase on good to soft. But I mean, that was his comeback. He's entitled to need it. And a lot of good horses were pulled up that day. So I just think, Royal Pagay, he's 8 years old now. He's entering his prime. Phoenicia Williams stable, absolutely red hot this season. And I think he'll beat him.
Did either of you give any consideration to Imperial Aura, who looked like he might end up at the top table? But I mean, his last four starts, he hasn't got round once, has he? Birchie, what did you make of Imperial Aura for this?
He was a good horse a couple of seasons ago, but things haven't gone at all well with him, have they, for some time now? And I think this is he's got to prove he's still the horse of old.
Interesting. Right then, let's look at the 3 o'clock at Newbury, 2 miles, half a furlong for the Betfair Exchange Game Spirit Chase. Only four runners, but again, all four are in with a decent chance. So Royal is 2-1, Hitman's 9-4, Funambule Sivola is 3-1, and it's Sky Pirate at 11-2. What do you make of this one, Rob?
Yes, it's a trappy little one, isn't it? I mean, I was kind of annoyed to see Funambule Sivola declared here, because I've backed him for the Grand Annual. I think if he runs well, he's going to blow his mark there, but I'm not sure it'd be quite good enough anyway. So Royal is the solid one, but again, he's 10 years old. He's got to give £6 away. That would concern me. I think, to be honest, I would be absolutely all over Hitman after his Tingle Creek second. I mean, he was only 5 there. I thought that was an exceptional run. It's just, again, that Paul Nicholls form. I think if Nicholls nails a couple of winners early in the day, I think I would back him, but I just don't want to get stuck in just yet. But I think
the thing is, though, Rob, there, Hitman's 9-4 now. I mean, if Clan and Braveman's were to both win, he could be 7-4 and south, couldn't he?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, you are going to have to accept a shorter price, but I think I'd rather do that at this stage, because if those two horses get beaten, then he could massively drift. I think he probably is the best horse in the race, and to be honest, he might not even have to be his absolute best to win it, but I just think there's a little too much uncertainty for me at the moment.
Okay, yeah, trappy is the word that Robbie used, and I think that's fair enough, isn't it, Birchie?
Yeah, the one horse you haven't mentioned, Sky Pirate, that's my fancy for the race. Outsider of four, as you've already sort of intimated, negatives about the other three runners. And the negative with Sky Pirate, I suppose, is, it's a grade two chase. He's best known for winning the Grand Annual last season. But I think he's improved. I know he's a 9-year-old, but I think he's improved this season. And don't underestimate that third to Shishkin at Kempton. I think that's you know, obviously Shiskin's a superstar.
That was a quite a good run, that wasn't it? He actually came there at one point thinking, is he going to join in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he ran a brilliant race that day. He's also been behind Brave Siska on his other run, and I think those two runs are superb runs. I think he's been really underestimated in the betting. He's got a really nice cruising speed, so if I don't go a real gallop, I don't think that will inconvenience him, and he's got a turn of foot. I could see him coming to the second last, bang on the bridle, and with the negatives we've already mentioned about the other three, I think he's excellent value.
Okay, and finally at Newbury. Now then, something's just come up on my phone. I've just had a push notification from the Racing Post. Worrying trends. Why this weekend's numbers have warning lights flashing? That's referring to field sizes. And although there are 14 runners in our next race at Newbury, this is a race where I think you can have up to 24 and always have had in the past. It's, of course, the Betfair hurdle over 2 miles, one of the big handicap hurdles of the season. 14 runners, my friends. I mean, it just seems there's not a single Irish runner here. This is rich pickings. But a lot of these horses, Robbie, a lot of connections of horses that would have run here for a huge prize. They're waiting for the Cheltenham, where they're likely to run into all sorts of well-handicapped Elliots and Mullinses, twice the field size, half the money. What's going on?
Yeah, it makes no sense, does it? I don't know why more trainers haven't targeted this. But
clearly the owners want a day out at Cheltenham. So the pull of Cheltenham is huge, but it just doesn't make sense, does it?
It's going to be way harder to win. I mean, in this race, there aren't a lot of horses that really stand out as being that well handicapped, to my eye. I think the one at the top, I mean...
Can I just quickly whiz through the prices? Sorry, now we've got the field size issue. No. So Broomfield Berg for Hendo is 5-1 Fav. JPR 1 is 6. Soaring Glory 13-2. Nappers Hill 15-2. Boot Hill 17-2, 50 Ball 10, Jetoile 11, it's 12 bar, and extra place news. You can get 5 places with Sky and William Hill and Paddy Power and Betfair. So there you go. That's the prices. That's each way situation. Who's the winner?
Yeah, I was quite surprised to hear you say 6-1 about JPR 1. I thought he'd be a bit short than that. I mean, he's got the Supreme and the Ballymore entry. I think he's unlucky not to be unbeaten. Oh, sorry, there's some police outside.
Don't worry about it.
I think he's actually...
It wouldn't be the first time the police have been outside your house, from what I hear, but go on.
I think he's unlucky not to be unbeaten going into this. On his second run at Cheltenham, he sort of hit the front maybe a bit too soon. He was out-battled by quite a good horse, and That's All Right Gino, much more experienced. And then he's come out and won his second start over 2 mile 3. And I quite like that when a horse has proved their stamina over a bit further and then dropping back to 2 miles in a decent handicap. I think that'll suit him. I think he's well handicapped of 129 and 6-1. I think that's a fair price. I want one at double figures as well. 50 Ball is very interesting. Chasing didn't really work out for him this winter. He didn't jump with any fluency at Newbury. And then he was chucked in a grade 2 at Ascot. He didn't look to be enjoying himself. He was jumping out to his left all the time. I think Gary Moore looked at that and said, right, let's freshen him up, get him ready for the Betfair hurdle a couple months later, because he is on the same mark as he was when second in the race last year. And I mean, that race has worked out exceptionally well. He's finished ahead of that day. Edwardston, who's run off 146. He's ahead of Bars, run off 147 with Kevin Brogan's claim factored in. And Guard Your Dreams, run off 135. I mean, those three horses are very well handicapped. They're proper grade 1, grade 2 horses. And he's had them beaten. You look at the rear posing horses as well. Soaring Glory's got to give him £14 more than last year. Glory and Fortune in behind's got to give him 12. This year, those two horses obviously finished second and third at Kempton in the Grade 1 over Christmas. I think 50 Ball, yeah, he's waited to go very close, and a double figure odds, 14 runners. You might even nick 5 places with a couple of firms. I think that's a cracking each way bet.
Okay, we'll hear more from Robbie as long as he hasn't been led away in handcuffs. He goes for JPR 1 and 50 Ball. Birchie, what do you fancy in the Betfair hurdle? First of all, just a quick word on field size. It's just a shame, isn't it?
It is. It's ridiculous, but it's an alarming trend that's been going on for the last 10 years or maybe probably 10 years. And it's just become more and more pronounced. It's 155 grand the race. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, I remember massive field. I remember backing Geos at a huge price. Sorry for after timing about 20 years after the event. I remember backing Geos to beat Rooster Booster and, you know, this was, I mean, way back with Balco and all these brilliant hurdles.
Oh, you love it, Balco, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, I loved it, Balco. I loved Ek Balco, yeah. I remember him and Donegal Prince locking horns in this. Frankham just about did me. I was listening on a transistor radio, I think 1984 at Palace. Fantastic. So I only just got over it 40 years later. But anyway, enough reminiscing. Let's look ahead to the race. What do you fancy, Birchie?
Well, let's reminisce a bit more, because you will remember, as I do, when this race was inaugurated back in the 70s, it might have been, it was known as the Schweppes.
Yes, it was.
And probably the 60s. And Ryan Price had an unbelievable record in the race. I think he won the first four out of five runnings. And Josh Gifford rode a few of them winners. Now, he's the all-time record holder in winning the Betfair Hurdle. He's won it four times. Gary Moore has won it three times, and I've got a feeling Gary Moore would be really, really honoured if he could equal that feat tomorrow. Everything Robbie said about 50 Bolt is absolutely spot on. £14 better off with Soaring Glory. He's made a very, very persuasive case. The only negative for 50 Bolt is the fact that last year he went into the race in prime form. This year, I don't think he comes into the race in anywhere near that sort of form. It might be because, you know, he's had a truncated chasing campaign, and now connections have just, decided to wait for this race. But you're all going to think I'm madder than a Luton fan. But Gary Moore's second string is called Royaume Uni. And I've been following this horse off a cliff since its novice days last season.
Do you know what that means, Birchie? Royaume Uni?
I've got no idea. I don't know how to pronounce it either, if I'm honest.
You pronounced it very well. United Kingdom.
Right. Okay. That's fine. Well, I think the horse is really well handicapped. He doesn't seem to win as much as you'd think he would. He might possibly, in a tight finish, he might just put his head up when it matters. But as Robbie says, you can get five places each way for this race with some firms. He's 25-1. I think he's going to be banging contention at the final fence, final hurdle, and he has got the form to figure. He's going to be my tip for the race.
Roy on me, 25-1, brilliant stuff. That was Newbury. Warwick is coming up in less than 10 seconds.
The Racing Postcast is supported by Racing Post Members Club. Featuring award-winning journalism, expert tips, and renowned form study tools, this is the only racing subscription you need to stay ahead of the field. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22, that's POST22, to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. That works out at just £17.48 per month to unlock all of the premium features, and it renews at full price thereafter. Head to racingpost.com/postcast for all of the details and to claim.
Welcome back to part two of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Robbie Wilders and Richard Birch. Let's look and see what the boys fancy in our three races at Warwick. Again, small fields, but again, no really overwhelmingly strong favourites. Let's start with 1:35, the Virgin Bet Warwick Mares Hurdle. 2.5 miles is the trip, and Indefatigable is the favourite at 4-5. Marie's Rock 3-1, White Hot Chili Filly 11-2, and Get a Tonic 10-1. And Birchie, you're going first.
Always been a big fan of Indefatigable. Proved herself as good as ever with a Grade 2 win at Wetherby at the Charlie Hall meeting. Know she was fancied to win a race at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, and connections pulled her out because the ground was considered too soft. She's always been regarded as a spring mare. I know we're not quite at spring yet, but we're not that far away.
It feels like it, Birch. I was out with the dog this morning and there were daffodils in full bloom. I got very excited.
Very exciting. Yeah. Cheltenham must be around the corner. I think she's got the best form in the race. Ground conditions will definitely suit her. She's got the tactical speed to excel round Warwick. I think she'll win.
Excellent. Indefatigable for Birchie. Who for Robbie?
Yeah, I totally agree with Birchie there. She's just very, very likeable mare, very consistent, hardly ever runs a bad race. She might be 9 years old now, but she actually recorded the second best run of her life on her last start in a mare's handicap at Cheltenham. She lost to Martello Sky. I think that's quite a smart mare. The only horse who could really give her a fright is Mary's Rock. On her last start, she was really unlucky in the Lanzarote hurdle. She sent off 9-2 favourite for that, but she was almost brought down and probably should have been pulled up earlier on. But I just don't think she's going to have quite enough to beat Indefatigable. But I think it might be close.
Okay, thank you, gents. Let's move on to the 2:05 at Warwick, which is the Virgin Bet Kingmaker Novices Chase, 2 miles. Interesting race this, which will have repercussions on the Arkle market for sure. Edward Stone is 10-11. Third Time Lucky, 15-8. Brave Siaska, 5-1. For Pleasure, 20-1. Again, just the four runners, but again, not necessarily possible to say I definitely strongly fancy one, unless Robbie does.
No, I'm the same. I mean, we're looking at the two best 2 mile British novice chasers, like 100% in Third Time Lucky in Edgerton. I just wonder if potentially it might play into Edwardston's hands because you've got Four Pleasure in there, likes to go off quite hard in front. Brave Siska's gone on before. Third Time Lucky likes to go on. So it might just set up well for him. If there is sort of a collateral form line, I mean, you could argue that Third Time Lucky did beat Do Your Job by quite a bit further than Edwardston did at Doncaster, than Edwardston did in the Wayward Lad. I don't know if you can read too much into that, but basically, I mean, a lot of this is going to depend on how Third Time Lucky settles, because at Sandown, he was all over the place. And Edwardston will definitely beat him again if he doesn't. But he was better at Doncaster.
Bobby, am I right? Am I not right in thinking that there was a scare with Third Time Lucky after that? And they were saying that he might have to miss Cheltenham because did he pull a muscle or something? I imagine that.
I honestly, Bruce, don't remember that.
Okay, fine.
All he right. must have been all right, and he must be fine if he's running.
Yeah, of course he must. Yeah, I was just surprised. That was. Yeah. It seemed to ring a bell, but who knows what's going on in my befuddled mind these days.
You could say it's quite strange he's running only 2 weeks after his last start. I mean, and these two horses, I worry they might just think out loud that that'll be their fifth run before Cheltenham. They don't want to overdo it for them.
But, well, say that, but back in the days, me and Birch, you'll remember, they used to have a perfectly full campaign and then go and win at the festival, no problem. All this blooming cotton wool they wrap them up in these days. So,
4 months on, mate. But, yeah, I just think if you've got a preference either way, then back one for the Arkle before. If not, then well, don't essentially. I won't be betting on the race, but I'm intrigued as to what will happen.
Oh, I'm not dreaming it up. Arkle bid in doubt for Third Time Lucky after suffering setback in Lightning win. Yeah, there you go. Oh, David Carr in some rag called The Racing Post.
How long ago was that?
That was end of Jan.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Okay, right then, let's see what Birchie fancies.
Well, I don't think there's anything between the two, Edward Stone and Third Time Lucky, really. I think it's going to boil down to which horse adapts best to Warwick. Both are superb jumpers. Both have got high cruising speeds and both have got a good turn of foot. Robbie's alluded to the fact that Third Time Lucky has shown a tendency in the past to take a keen hold. But there's two front runners in this race. They're going to go quite quickly. And you could just see those seven fences down the back straight come up awfully quickly. And you've got to get into a rhythm. You've got to be pacing. You've got to have a turn of foot after them. I think the horse which is absolutely tailor-made for this race is Third Time Lucky. You can get 15-8 about him, and it's odds on Edward Stone. So I'm tipping Third Time Lucky. I wouldn't be having a bet in the race, but I think he'll win.
Righty-ho, let's move on to our final TV race. It's the 3:15 at Warwick, 2 miles and 4 furlongs for the Virgin Bet Warwick Castle Handicap Chase. Have either of you ever been to Warwick Castle?
No.
Been to Warwick, not the castle. I've had a couple of nights out in Warwick as well. It's quite good.
Have you? Okay, fair enough. I hear it's amazing. All right, anyway, never mind that. 9-2 Fav, Celeb Dalen. 11-2 Falco Blitz. 13-2 Cheddleton and Our Power. 9-1 The King of May. 10-1 Dinny Lacey. 10-1 Jacamar. 12-1 Bar. We have 11 runners. Let's see if anyone's going extra places. William Hill 4, Skybet 4. So that's good. Birch, you can go first. This looks a bit of a head scratcher to my ignoramus eye. Are you seeing it nice and clearly?
No, you're spot on. I spent far too long looking at this race the other night. And, you know, there's a couple of unexposed... Your eye is... In this type of race, your eye is immediately drawn to the unexposed novice. Jacamar's one, and Our Power is another. The problem with both of them is they have a tendency to make mistakes. And what we've been speaking about at Warwick is you need to get into a rhythm and jump really well. And if you hit the third last or the fifth last at Warwick, you're in trouble. So, you know, I think those are the two horses in the race with the most scope for improvement. But I'm not gonna tip either of them. Then I went to the top of the weights and I thought Amula Gold has probably got a bit too much weight. And then I kept going up and down, up and down, up and down. And then my eyes suddenly looked on Riders on the Storm. And I remembered 2 or 3 years ago, some of the races he was contesting. He was in grade one races at Ascot. He was in grade one races at the Cheltenham Festival when trained by Nigel Tristan Davis. I mean, his back form in terms of this race is superb. I know he didn't cover himself with glory last time out, but he certainly wasn't disgraced. And he did indicate that he retains plenty of ability. If he does retain plenty of ability, he's well handicapped these days, and I think he's got a good chance. But as you say, it's a head scratcher.
Brilliant. Okay, Birchie, thank you very much indeed. Robbie, have you got a stronger fancy here?
Yeah, maybe slightly stronger. I agree with what Birchie's saying about that horse. Yeah, I think he's well handicapped for sure. But I think the one who stands out is Lieutenant Rocco. I know Kiel's absolutely loves this horse. But he's got a very interesting profile, really. Quite strange. He's actually been with 5 stables, having only run 8 times on the rules. He keeps getting moved around. But he's definitely on a good mark. I just thought his return in the Fleur-de-Lis chase, 1/2 for gold. I just thought that was kind of a way of getting a nice run into him. Bit of extra fitness. His mark's gone down 3 pounds. And he was rightly pulled up. It looked a grueling race, but if you go back for his novice form, he looked really, really good at Foss last February. We won by about 10 lengths in a decent novice chase. He was actually one of the favourites for the Ultima after that, but he got injured and didn't run. I think there's more to come. He's off 140 now. And you could argue maybe that the drop back in trip is a concern to 2 mile 4, but he has got form over the trip. If you go back to his last run, he was only 2 lengths behind Protector out in the Dipper last January over that trip. And the time before that, he actually finished ahead of Chantry House over that trip at Cheltenham. Yeah, I just think his mark is very interesting. And at double-figure price, I'll be playing him each way.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? You say about the train's gone from Nichols to Tizard, Tizard to Nick Mitchell, Nick Mitchell to Ralph Smith, Ralph Smith to Harriet Brown. But then I noticed that he's owned by Sherborne Utilities Limited. And obviously, people are encouraged to swap around from one utility company to another. So perhaps they're practising what they preach. Who knows?
Just to add, the trainer, Harriet Brown, she's not done too bad in her first season. She's had 1 winner and 3 places from her last 9 runners. And a couple of those that placed were massive prices. So I wouldn't hold that against Lieutenant Rocco. So, yeah, okay. I think it'll go well.
Interesting. Thank you very much, chaps. That's the TV action. We'll get the rest of the Saturday fancies in just a jiffy.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Richard Birch and Robbie Wilders. We've done the TV action. Let's see what the boys fancy elsewhere on Saturday. Let's see what we've got. It's obviously plenty of racing, as there always is, as well as the Newbury and Warwick undercards. We've got Utoxeter. We've got, all-weather action at Lingfield and Wolverhampton. And they're also racing at Nace over in Ireland. Don't give your naps away, but tell us anything else that catches your eye. Robbie Wilders.
Yeah, just one extra bet for me, Bruce. Horizon Dane in the 240 at Warwick. I just think he's been given a really nice opening mark of 109. I'm not sure he's quite right on his last start. The concern is he's been fitted with a tongue tie this time, but he's had a couple of months off. 2 starts back. He really caught the eye, finishing second to PJB. That horse has won easily since at Sandown, is rated 129. They run off level weights there. I can't for 1 minute think Horizon Dane is £20 worse than that horse. And he's bred to improve as well. His dam was second to Quivega in the 2013 Mayor's Hurdle. He's only 5 years old, as I say. Trained by Dan Skelton, only 3 runs. I think he's got to be better than that mark of 109. And I think there is some early 7-2 available that could be quite nice.
I think wasn't that nice to see that Quiroga prodigy run so well last weekend?
I think that was the best performance of the whole
meeting. Really exciting. What's the name of it again? Something Vega, isn't it?
Fasal Vega.
Fasal Vega, yeah, it looks a very exciting prospect. Thank you, Robbie. Birchie, what have you got for us, my friend?
Utoxeter 418, Motown Lake. Backed this horse. I didn't get the 14-1. He was backed from 14-1 down to 3-1 at one point for a novices handicap chase at Wincanton. And for, I think I got sixes. But for a long part of the journey, he really did look like he was going to win the race. Until we got to the bottom turn, he went from cruising to absolutely nothing in about two strides. And Nick Schofield sensibly pulled him up. My impression from that race was he's got plenty of ability, certainly more ability than his initial mark of 86 suggests. And I got the impression that it was the heavy ground. They gave it as soft that day, but it wasn't. It was you couldn't get deeper ground. Everything was pulling up at the back of the field. And once he got better ground, he would be a very interesting proposition. The handicappers are, you know, they're often right, but in this particular instance, I just cannot believe he was dropped £6 for that. I know he pulled up, but, you know, to my eye, he went through the race like a well-handicapped horse who just couldn't handle the mud. He's been dropped £6. He's running off a mark of 80. Christian Williams is a genius with this sort of lightly raced staying handicap chaser. I've only seen one set of prices so far, and the bookmakers have also remembered what happened that day because he's 5-1. But I think this is a horse with a great deal of upside to it. And if tomorrow is the day, I could see this horse starting maybe 5-2, something like that. And I could see him winning by a long way. So fingers crossed.
For Motown Lake in the 418. You took the Birch, I detected a hint of disdain when you said the 418. Are you not a fan of these non-Tombola race times?
No, well, me and you both love Graham racing, don't we? I mean, you know, we still love Graham racing, but, you know, it just smacks bags racing to me, doesn't it, to you?
I suppose so. Never mind. As long as they win, that's all I care about. Right then, lads, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Robbie Wilders. If you're only having one bet on Saturday, what are you going to go for?
Royal Pagai, 225 Newbury.
Thank you very much. Birchie?
Some people put up 25-1 shots and don't really expect them to win. I don't really expect Royal Muni to win the Betfair hurdle, but I will be surprised if he doesn't finish in the first five. So I'm putting up Royal Muni each way, 25-1.
In the Betfair hurdle at 3:35 at Newbury. Thank you very much. Before we go, as promised, the lads have been racking their, or not racking their brains, but getting their thinking caps on to give us their latest hot take on the Cheltenham Festival. Lads, what have you conjured up this week? You're obviously both thinking about the festival and trying to, you know, formulate your plans. What has caught your mind, or what has come into your mind this week as a good bet for the festival? Robbie?
I'm going to go for Ilite Tomps at 20-1 in the Triumph Hurdle. Now, this horse was making his debut for Willie Mullins in the spring juvenile behind Vauban and Phil Dore, conceding a lot of race course experience. I thought he ran quite an eye-catching race there. He didn't look to be sort of tenderly enough handled. I mean, these horses that make their debut in grade ones normally end up being very good. And I thought the layers might have trimmed him a bit more for the Triumph. And 20-1 generally available, that's quite nice. There could be loads more to come.
What's he called again?
Ilite Tomps. Okay. I mean, that's not a good pronunciation.
It's not really, is it? But well, I'm sure we'll get it. I'm sure when we scan the list, we'll see it. Birchie, what have you got for us?
In a couple of weeks' time, it's that old Racing Post chase at Kempton. And there's a horse in there called Ansam, who is likely to be strongly supported for that race. Ansam is 25-1 for the Ultimar at Cheltenham. And he's got the absolute perfect profile for that race. He's young, he's progressive, he's still well handicapped. And, you know, a win at Kempton would put him nicely in that race off a really competitive weight. I don't think that 25-1 will last. So have a bet on Nansam at 25-1 for the Ultimar.
Love that. Thank you, gents. What's the weekend plans, Robbie? Working hard?
Yeah, working hard. I've started working around my mate's house on Saturdays and Sundays, which is quite, it's a bit more enjoyable than working from home on your own.
Oh, really? We have got an office. You could come in. Mind you, it's a bit empty at the weekends.
You're going to get maybe Kitty in there. And I mean, no offence to Kitty, but I'd rather...
Kitty's in every day, isn't she?
But I'd rather a bigger turnout, mate, to be honest.
Okay, fair enough. Well, yeah, next Friday, all the sports team are converging. So,
All the racing team as well. So we'll see.
All the best people are there. Brilliant.
Best people turned up.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so you're working around at your mate's house. Is that peaceful? Less police sirens as I hear another one wailing past.
As well. It's just more fun, really. I just find it a bit kind of depressing working on my own all the time.
Yes, I mean, Birchie loves it on his own in the Isle of Wight. He doesn't want to see anybody. He's more than happy. But I think for the young folk, I think, you know, the office environment's quite good, isn't it? And you've probably missed it a bit, haven't you, Rob?
I missed it massively, yeah.
Okay, mate.
I mean, this next Friday will be good fun. So
I look forward to seeing you then. Birchie, what's the weekend hold for you, my friend? The Addicts?
No, it's away to Wigan, not going up there too far. We're not very good. I'm not going. I'm very disillusioned after the Bolton defeat on Tuesday night. So not much actually. I've got some Cheltenham stuff to do, and I'll be.
Am I right in thinking, Birchie, that you go for a paddle in the sea every morning?
In the summer, I swim every day in the summer, but not until May. May the 1st to October.
Really? Mm. You don't engage with the ocean at any other time, no?
Well, it's freezing. You try it today. It'll be like ice. No.
Yeah.
No.
No, fair enough. Okay, mate. Well, listen, well done, chaps. Thank you very much indeed for all your wisdom. Hopefully there's some winners in there as well. Thank you very much for listening. Maddie and the gang are back on Monday to review the action, and we're back next Friday for another Racing Postcast. Bet responsibly. Hope you can join us then.